Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Monday, the 13th of July, 2020. On the podcast today, John Clark, CEO of Gfinity, and that's GFIN ticker. John discusses their Gfinity Plus rewards program going live for the company's millions of website visitors today. Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talks about Open Orphan, Avacta Group, Zanaga Iron, ECR Minerals, and Gfinity. Plus, 2 lists for you, top 5 most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top 5 most liked RNSs. By the way, you can see top 10 visions of both these lists on the main page there at voxmarkets.co.uk, where you can also see a host of other content, including blog articles about EcoAtlantic, about intelligent ultrasound, also one on Gfinity, plus there's videos, podcasts right there. And you can also check out a COVID-19 index. Biggest rise of the day is Modern Water. On that, 9.46% up. Second is Open Orphan, 9% up. And the biggest fall is Gene Drive at 6.63% down at 77.5. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Clark, CEO of Gfinity, G-F-I-N is ticker there. John, thanks for joining me.
Pleased to be here.
Yeah, it's, and the share price has reacted well since you last were on, and it's more than doubled, I think, of course, in the world of esports. And you've announced a Gfinity Plus rewards program to go live for the company's millions of website visitors in the RS today, and we'll dig into that. But if there is someone, John, listening right now who's never heard of Gfinity or know a little bit about it, but not quite sure, just give us a brief summary of what Gfinity is about, please.
Okay, of course. Gfinity is a modern esports company that's focused on 3 areas. Firstly, the digital media group, which you say, which we'll talk about in shortly. Secondly, about joint ventures with leading organisations such as Abu Dhabi Motorsport Management, which we announced recently. And thirdly, about building and growing community of gamers for others through our technical IP, our world-class production, and our sort of innate knowledge of the gaming world.
Yeah, okay, well, let's talk about the media side then. So you've seen rapid growth, and I was looking at these figures, they're phenomenal in your sites in the past 6 months. So what is Gfinity Plus going to do for you then, John?
Yeah, that's interesting, because if you go back 12 months ago, Justin, you know, that the community was small and it wasn't generating any revenue. You know, today we've got millions of users that come and visit our sites, Gfinity Esports, Stealth Optional, and Real Sport 101, as well as the language sites that we've introduced as well. You know, we've become a Google authority on many of the leading game titles like FIFA 21, Fortnite, Minecraft, that drives traffic. And really, if you want to reach gamers, our sites are now high up on the list for advertisers, places to go. And that's why we're expecting to generate 2 million in ad revenue this financial year. So Gfinity Plus is important because it takes and those visitors and makes them stay longer, mm-hmm. helps us deepen the engagement that we have with them, and ultimately it's just driving up the value of the site. So the Gfinity Plus is stage 2 of our strategic fan. First was build the numbers, And then second was deepen engagement and then work out ways to monetize. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned that Q3, Q4 this year could be very positive months in terms of ad spend in the gaming industry. Why is that? And what do you think, you know, the potential impact is for Gfinity there?
Yeah, I think gaming has benefited from the lockdown. I think what you're seeing there is a result that more people are playing and more people are watching. So 2020 was already going to be a big year, but COVID has made it even bigger. So later on in Q3, Q4, we've got new consoles launching, and this is then being supported with lots of new games starting to be announced in the next few weeks until leading up to the end of the year, and also peripherals to support that. So advertising and the promotion budgets of the console makers, of the game publishers, and the peripheral makers are there, and they're plentiful. So our challenge has been to make sure that our sites are all fully optimized for advertising so that they can take full advantage. So, you know, now that we've done this, we've got great partners involved with Vanatus and now Kinetics for video delivery. So if you're a publisher or a brand and you want to reach gamers, then, you know, really all roads lead to the Gfinity Digital Media Group now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You mentioned, you know, Kinetics there and video ads. Why are they important then so much?
Yeah, Kinetics was another part of the announcement today. So Kinetics is the video partner that works for organizations such as Reuters and Mashable and Daily Mail Group as well, I believe. So they are leaders in their space in delivery of fast and efficient video ads. And the reason why this is important, this exciting for us, is because video ads are the most lucrative ads that you can have on your site. Mm-hmm. And the more efficient you are in serving them, the more revenue that you ultimately drive. So Kinetics is a market leader in this space. We've looked and talked to a number of different people, but there's a meeting of the minds between us and the Kinetics team. They've looked at our sites and see the rapid growth we've experienced and the revenue potential that exists. So, you know, it's a great partnership for us. But another big benefit of this, which is you're starting to see as we look at trends, is that their video, the way they build them, it's suitable for mobile. And increasingly, this is where gamers are going to play and to engage in content. So the better you are in that space, the more opportunity, you have to drive significant revenue.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned in the RNS, you're moving Real Sport 101 to a new technology platform. Can you expand on that and explain what that's
about? Yeah, because one way you could say that's quite a technical announcement, but everything that we're talking about and everything we're doing has got a commercial goal at the end of it, and a revenue driving ambition. And so Real Sport 101 has built on a legacy platform that has, you know, we're able to sort of amend it and make it and make it as efficient as possible, but it's nowhere near as efficient as Gfinity Esports is about serving ads and being able to optimize and change the nature of the ads that we're able to deliver and sort of support more video. So that's why we've made that change. That goes live now, and it all supports the sort of the push to ensure that we're ready and able to take full advantage of the big bumper Q3 and Q4 that's coming our way. And Talal and the Digital Media Group team under his leadership are working extremely hard and smart to make us the go-to destination for gamers that love news, love exciting developments, and ultimately through Gfinity Plus that are going to be even more engaged with our content.
Yeah, I connected with Talal on Twitter, and he's genuine, has a passion for it. He said, I love this stuff. I live this stuff. And so it's nice to have that kind of passion there. What's interesting about this, what we talked about here, is like you said, the media section of your business, which wasn't monetized, didn't really exist 12 months ago. And now it's really, you have really optimized it and it created. So, you know, you are tapping into the very hot sector of gaming, which is a big industry growing very quickly, but also you've got esports, which is, you know, your core. But it's, again, 12 months ago, really, you weren't really tapping into this gaming side. It's now you can now monetize. It's very exciting. And you mentioned there, you stated and restated the company's target is to move to profitability in Q1 of 2021. And I suppose this is going to help get you there. What else is going to help you get you there, John?
Yeah, whenever you look at it, look at this as our ambition there. There's never a silver bullet. So we started the process back in March, where we announced the significant reduction in our cost base. We sharpened our strategic focus. So we've been putting the pieces in place that are going to help us get to that that point, which is very important for us as a business. Of our target of moving into profitability in Q1 of 2021 calendar year, and we're really focused on doing that. To make that happen, now we need to maximize the potential. The Gfinity digital media team, and you're correct, it didn't exist 12 months ago. It's through people like Talal and his team that have been incredibly entrepreneurial. There was incredible value that was sitting within our organization, and our challenge was saying, okay, how do we untap it? And the team has worked really hard and smart to be able to do that. And as I say, now in that particular space, we've got some of the fastest growing websites for gamers anywhere in the world. Yeah. We believe we're just scratching the surface of what's possible there. So we need to maximize the potential of that space. We need to deliver outstanding work for our partners, like Abu Dhabi Motorsport Management, which we announced a few weeks ago as a joint venture agreement, and an example of when like minds come together and come up with our brilliant creative ideas that we have in the world of gaming, and in this in particular of virtual motorsport gaming, with an organization that has a 5-year vision and a plan of where it wants to go and is looking for the right partner to help develop and grow it, and that was Gfinity. And we believe there are a number of other organizations that are out there that we are talking to and will continue to talk to, and who want to talk to us because of who we work for. We work for Formula One, we work for the Premier League, we partner with organizations like Abu Dhabi Motorsport Management, and importantly, we have millions and millions of gamers that are coming through our channels that we talk to and engage with. So we've got to keep doing that, and we've got to keep driving new business wins and building communities for others. And if we are able to do that, stay focused on the bottom line, work hard, show lots of tenacity and lots of focus, then that's going to help us get to the point which is very important for this business.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? After your announcement last time with Abu Dhabi Motorsport Management, I just Googled them, and it takes you straight to sort of Yas Island, and that's where they're based, and their events are there, put on events. And that is an impressive place. I didn't see it until you actually look it up. And I recognised it from Formula One, but didn't realise what it was. And they had 40 billion spent on it. And you realise these Middle Eastern countries, are, of course, they've traditionally earned most of their revenue from oil and gas, but now they're pivoting to leisure, tourism, because, of course, the weather's perfect there. And like I say, if you go to Dubai, for example, it was like, a fishing village like 30 years ago. It was like nothing more than that. And so when these guys put their mind to it and they've got a passion for something, they really go for it, don't they? And it's just worth looking up. And that joint venture, and I suppose you do mention there's more details coming out in the format of that ERC soon, so I assume there's more news on that. But when these, the Middle Eastern countries, and they've got plenty of money there, when they want to do something, they do it big style, don't they?
They're world class in every level of the way they operate and of long term planning. And I think they're great examples. And the teams of people that we work with, that we've had the pleasure of working with, are inspirational characters. And if you have a long term plan and you have a strategic focus, and in this instance, gaming and virtual gaming is part of that, then that creates wonderful opportunities. And from our side of where we sit, what we have to do is keep coming up with the sort of excellent creative ideas that are always ingrained in delivering commercial value, and then rely on our expertise in delivery to bring these concepts to life in partnership with great organisations and great people like those at Abu Dhabi Motorsport Management. So, yeah, you look at this and you think where do those opportunities come from and where do they exist, and in some of the sort of worlds where developing their esports markets, you know, they're looking for partners to work with, and you know, who better in many cases than someone like Gfinity that has a history of working with the biggest game publishers, a history of working with some of the biggest sports brands and sports rights holders like Formula One and the Premier League. And as I say, I keep coming back to this, but it's very important, and has millions and millions of gamers that it is talking to through its own channels on a monthly basis, that is able to give us insights. It's able to give us sort of people that we can, and communities that we can sort of bring to other properties as well. So once you start putting all those strategic pillars together, you can see why the future is exciting for a company like ours in a very fast growing space.
Yeah, well, just briefly touch on that. I mean, previously you mentioned, I didn't really get it, and you mentioned as a business model and the ambition kind of thing is to, you know, looking at Future PLC, which is a company that's done very well. And I realised, you know, when I looked at it, you've gone from now just being a service company to having your own IP, doing JVs, you know, having virtual real estate that'll generate, you know, money and cash flow. And so what's the thoughts there, John? Ambition here for you?
Yeah, no, I think I think everybody, and you're in business, you look at some organisations and you look at areas and segments, and you know, many, again, you come back and say, okay, you get inspired by what people have achieved in a very short time through being very focused and having a plan, and when, you know, that's when you look at the team at Future, what they have done over a relatively short period of time is truly inspirational. When we look at it in our area of sort of the hobbyist area of gaming, gaming is not a fad. It's not a trend. You know, it is the way young people in particular live their lives. It's not going anywhere other than growing in popularity. And so, you know, when we look at what our sort of ambition is and sort of saying, you know, we're carving out a niche in this area through our owned community, and I stress the owned piece there is because, you know, it's ours. We're building it. We're creating content that gamers love and enjoy engaging with, and we're monetizing it. And from a monetization standpoint, that money comes to us. So, you know, and that gives us the opportunity then to invest that and reinvest that into other areas and help us grow our business. So that's why it's important. So, you know, I look at the gamer hobbyist area and say it's only going to grow. Yeah. And so how can we grow with it? Yeah. And you know, in some ways, in my previous life of in other industries that I worked in, it was a question of, you know, when these types of things happen, you know, you don't create the wave. You've got to work out a way of getting on there, jumping up it, and surfing it, and make sure you don't fall off. Because it's big and it's growing and it's fast, and that's where we are. And I think by putting the building blocks in place with our digital media group and growing and adding to that, working with great partners like Fanatus and Kinetics to help us sort of get the full value, having them excited about wanting to work with us because of what they're seeing, creates our ambition is very large in this area.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, I'm nearly 50. I'm not a gamer, all right? But I got two sons. One is 10, one is 7. They're obsessed with gaming. And, you know, I take them to rugby and football. They play it in school. When they want to do what they want to do, they want to play games. They want to watch the YouTubers who are very popular in the gaming community play games. And so it's easy for me to say, oh, it's this little thing on the side there. But I realise it's not. When you see the likes of Netflix and BBC talking to David Beckham about esports and wanting to get it on terrestrial, because they understand this is the wave. This is going to be the mainstream. It isn't quite at the moment, but in 5-10 years, it'll probably be the mainstream. And if they don't get, you know, a, a bit of skin in the game there, BBC and Netflix, right now, they'll probably be left behind, and they have to get it, because it'll be the thing, pretty much, going forward. And so you realise how big it is, and how big it's going to get. The next generation are obsessed with it, and future generations obsessed with it. So it's only going to get bigger, you know, so it's very exciting. So, okay, John, as always, if someone's not following Gfinity, and they think they should, but you know, they need to hit that follow button. Give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button and add you to their watch list, please.
Okay, firstly, our digital media group's primed and ready to take advantage of the big Q3 and Q4 of ad spend that's coming our way. Second, we've got a clear strategic direction and focus on excellent implementation, and we've got more news to come in that area. And thirdly, because we're driven to deliver on our target move into profitability in Q1 of 2021 calendar year.
Excellent stuff, John. Good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you very much for having me on the podcast.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Greenbean, CEO of Brand Communications. You're all
right? I'm fine, thanks, Just Boss. How are you?
I'm all right, yes. Anything exciting happening over the weekend?
Well, we had a barbecue, which is good. Had to have some family over. Lovely weekend, actually, just, and also went motorbikes on Saturday, which is great. Weather was nice, not too hot, just a nice day. Too much traffic on the roads, but you know, there always is. Just a really chill weekend, and of course coming back now to see that Gilead seems to have found some sort of cure for the coronavirus condition, and the FTSE's jumped higher this morning. It's encouraging, and we've seen a bullish start to the week.
Yeah, well, Gilead are doing the antiviral, aren't they? It's not the not the vaccine, it's the antiviral. So
antiviral.
It reduces the risk. Yeah. So if you've caught it, and it will help you, you know, sort of mitigate the issues there. But we still need a vaccine, which apparently is going to come in end of this year. So,
But I think the good thing is all of these measures, and two of the companies I'm going to discuss today as well, all of these measures basically reduce the risk of you and I and our members of our family catching coronavirus or dying from it, you know, which obviously is the key issue, simply because there are measures in place now to detect earlier, to mitigate some of the worst symptoms, and these are drugs that are already in circulation and being used in other ways. It's looking more encouraging, but clearly in the interim we have to deal with the impact that it's had on the global economy.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, let's crack on with the stocks.
Okay,
what rubbish are you looking at today?
Well, I've got a great selection of rubbish for you.
Excellent. Top quality rubbish.
Top quality rubbish, yeah. No, first one is, of course, Open Orphan.
Not rubbish. That's a quality company there, Open Orphan, with Cahill. They're doing a great job.
Exactly.
Compared to your normal standard, Al, it's way above it. Right, anyway, go on.
It's a terrific company, and I think it's just worth reminding ourselves the progress that the company has made, really. I mean, here we are now in the second quarter of the year. The company, obviously last year, it was a reverse takeover from Venn Life Sciences, and the company emerged from that, promised it would make an acquisition, acquired HVivo at the end of the year. And, of course, HVivo owns the quarantine center in East London, which is basically front and center in national and global news for the testing that's undertaking on the COVID process. In the meantime, of course, the company has been hard at work. It's developed with a NASDAQ listed quotient, an antibody system which detects antibodies that humans develop when infected by COVID-19, together with quotient on June the 4th, Open Orphan launched, or HVivo launched, the HVivo COVID clear test, which of course is a blood test using the joint technology from the two companies. Also this month, Orphan announced it has Van Life had signed a major new contract with an unnamed developer to develop the vaccine. And at the start of July, announced three new contracts using its lab and research facilities with Novavax, Nearmedic International, and an in vitro testing contract for a Massachusetts-based biotech. So this is driving growth in the company. And of course, I think hVIVO, the hVIVO testing facilities alone are generating some sort of 15 to 20 million sterling per annum. With the other sales that Orphan is generating from the contracts it has with major pharmaceutical companies like Ipsen, and of course it's developed the Flu V vaccine along with this too. There's a whole raft of activities that Open Orphan is now engaged in at every level, which is just adding a great deal of value to the properties the company owns, and of course its reputation as a world leading UK listed pharma company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I like Cahill. Of course, he's a driving force behind that, and he's a good talker, and he's got a lot of skin in the game. So you can see why he's working so hard, because his livelihood's at risk. You know, he put a lot of skin. He said most of it put into company, so he's invested a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort, and it seems to be working out well for him. So I'm glad of that. He's a nice guy.
He has. I like Cahill immensely. I mean, he's done so much for the company, but as you say, he's backed it with his own money. He's put his own hard earned in there. And we've spoken about this so many times on this podcast before, but it's so important that if you're looking at an investment proposition, how much skin does the CEO have in the game? You know, or the exec chairman have in the game? Are they fully committed? And Cahill is committed up to his eyeballs, which is a great thing. But he's the driving force behind it. And the stock has seen a year high of 16p. It's currently valued at 88 million. So peanuts, really, considering the resources, the facilities the company owns, and also the contracts it's signing. So, you know, if this was listed on NASDAQ, it would probably be 3 to 4 times the valuation it is now. But it's AIM, so there we go. But the stock's seen a year high of 16p already. At current levels, it's off that high, and I think it's set for further growth this year. Certainly, the conversations I've had with Cahill over the past few months would very much indicate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, the thing is, you know, Cahill put a lot of money in there, and but he's not stupid. You know, he put it in there, and he knows, you know, that. The good risk reward there. That's why he did it. He wouldn't just risk money willy nilly in a ridiculous thing, in a ridiculous bet. You know, he knew there was a gap in the market there. He's, you know, some of these companies on AIM, like Venn and hVIVO, had good businesses at the core, but were making losses. And so he realized how to go in there, knock them about a bit, you know, change them around, and they could be a profitable companies. So that's what he's doing, and he's got other things going on. Marvellous, Open Orphan. What else? What's next?
Okay, well, this is another pharmaceutical company that's had a phenomenal 6 months, a phenomenal year. I first saw the CEO, Dr. Alistair Smith, present at an event a couple of years ago, and was very impressed just with the technology and just the cut of his jib more than anything else. But he was, a very, he's got a great reputation in the industry, and this company has had an amazing year. Avacta is the company, of course, AVCT. Shares have traded as high as £2.10, currently sitting at £1.17, and as low as £13.50. And earlier on in the year, the company announced a fundraising. The shares were trading at about 18p, and it's just absolutely blasted off into the stratosphere since then. The most amazing year, but with very good reason. The company has biotherapeutic-based immunotherapies using human proteins, and the brand name for these with Avacta is they're called Afemas, they realised fairly early on in the COVID crisis that Afema technology has offered real benefits for rapid point of care testing and for screening large numbers of people and getting results literally within minutes. Since then, the company's collaborated with Avicel Therapeutics, which has a joint venture with Daewoong Pharma in South Korea, has a saliva antigen test that it's has a joint venture with Cytiva, which is the former GE Healthcare, absolutely huge company. Medusa 19 agreement for antigen, and it's progressed and progressed. It announced in June that the findings for ephemera agents in collaboration with Glasgow University they discovered from that the Cytiva's COVID test strips they had manufactured would work well and were also very easy and quick to manufacture. And that's a key part of the process. You know, it's great that they work, but if it's a complex manufacturing process that takes months to get to market, then obviously the preference is for a quick a solution that's quick to manufacture. And indeed, Ephema is just that. It's not only very effective, it's quick and easy to manufacture. This morning, of course, the company's launched a collaboration with Intergerman. I believe that's the correct way to pronounce it. Another
UK listed
company. Intergerman, yep. To detect COVID in wastewater using, again, the Ephema technologies. So this is a great British pharma company that's powering heads. A lot of talk a few months ago about this powering its way into the FTSE 100. Probably early days for that, but who knows? We could see we've got a big British winner on our hands, Innovact, as well as Open Orphan.
Marvellous. Yes, I don't know much about it apart from what you just said there, but yeah, I mean, I know it's quite hot at the moment, as COVID stocks. In fact, Novacyt came up with a very good update today. Did you see that? Novacyt,
yeah.
It's pretty much, let's look at the chart here. That's the king of the COVID stocks.
Novacyt has had the most incredible year too, hasn't it? I mean, it really has. And these are UK-based companies, they're UK companies, and it's great that we are, obviously providing sort of genuine technology that works well and is helping to save lives. That's the ultimate accolade you can give to any product, isn't it?
On the 30th of Jan, right, Novacyt opened up at 14 pence. On the 14th of April, it closed at £5.
That's incredible, isn't it?
It's now down to 277. But good update today, some good cash. I mean, did you see the amount they're generating? Let me just bring it up there. And I don't think it's a flash in the pan for them. I think because they were in the first of the game, half-year trading update. So what are they valued at? They're valued at £194 million.
Yep.
So with that in context, £194 million. Unaudited revenue for the first half of the year, 2020, increased 900% to €72.4 million, which is £66 million.
Which is incredible.
Yeah, it's basically, look at that, 10 times. It did £63.3 million, and that was compared to £6.3 million for the first half of 2019. So they did 10 times the revenue on that. Of course, and EBITDA... profitability €45 million. So,
yep.
And they reckon the second half could be busier. But so it's going well, you know, for those guys.
And also looking at the looking at the results announced this morning, they have 18 million cash at the bank, compared to 1.6 million cash at the bank as at December, sort of 2019.
They've come from £5 down to £277. So the chart is looking quite decent now. It's if you want to, I mean, I don't hold any shares in this, but do your own research. But I think it's come off. A lot of people got caught up in that spike, the hype spike. Always avoid that. You know, the most important thing when buying microcap stocks is the price. In fact, any shares, the price. And if you can't get a good price, you're not going to get a return. Full stop. You've got to get a return. You do that by getting a good price. And right now, I think it's come off. The volatility has come out a little bit. And it did dip down to close to 215, 214, but 277. But I think now they've got a decent runway. They've got cash. So it's what they do with that cash is important because, of course, we're not going to have these tests forever. And once they get a vaccine, but that's going to take another 2 years. I mean, vaccine ends this year. By the time you get it up and running and get it circulating into the wider population, it's going to take 2 years. So the tests are going to be around for a long time. A big player may come in and just, suck up the market. You never know. But at the moment, they still say there's demand for this for the next half a year at least. So
Easily, yeah, very much so. So I mean, they've had the most phenomenal run, and a great British success story. And of course, alongside that, you've got Avacta and Open Orphan too. So three great companies there. Companies.
Marvellous. Right. Anything else, Al?
I just feel we should mention a couple of spokes we talked about last week. ECR Minerals, which has had the most phenomenal week, currently up to 1.8p, and I think when we spoke about the company it was just over a penny. So it's had an amazing week, but even so, as we know, with the projects the company has in Victoria, Australia, that's the Bayliston and Crazy projects, JVs and deals are expected on those projects very shortly indeed. So we hope to hear about more about that either this week or next. But very exciting times there. And also, of course, Gfinity. We spoke about the esports company Gfinity, which also has had a terrific run since we spoke about it. I think when we spoke,
well, they've just been on the podcast today. They're just ahead of you, Al. They're on the podcast right there.
They're on the podcast.
John Clarkey, the guy who's sorted it out. And like I said, very bullish RNS. He's sorting the company out. This is not a hype stock with no fundamental backing. He is going for profit, break even end this year, profitability next year. And esports, I did a video on the weekend. Most esports companies, I was looking at them in America, they're loss making. They're valued at minimum 10 times revenue. Now, if you're making a profit, and if you look, that's how hot the sector is. Now, Gfinity's revenue last year was 7.8 million. So if you're in 10 times that, that's like 78, 80 million, and now they're still only valued at, 30 or 27 million. So it's a long way to go. If they're a profitable esports company with good contacts in F1, well, I think this is nowhere near fair value at the moment compared to it's undervalued for an esports company,
Yeah. No. I think you're right. I think
even though it's doubled, even though it's more than doubled in 2 weeks,
Yeah, that's right. I said last week that I'd wait until the price came back closer to the level we discussed there. But I think I may have missed the boat now. But even so, as you say, if this were on Nasdaq, it would be as much as 10 times the value that the company has now, particularly as it's generating revenues, and they expect to be sort of EBITDA positive, I think, quarter one next year.
Yeah, cool. Right. Anything else, Al?
Yeah, change of tack. I want to talk about an iron ore company. Of course, we've spoken on numerous occasions about the strength of the iron ore price, and obviously the iron ore is one of the key commodities to fuel a recovering market. One of the key focus points recently has been the development of the Amapa iron ore project by Cadence Minerals in Brazil. But there's a company based in Africa, Zenaga Iron Ore, IOC is the epic code, and the company is based in the DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo, and there is a joint venture between there's a company called Jumelles, Jumelles, and that's the holding company that owns this enormous iron ore resource. Some 6.8 billion tons with further exploration potential in the region. It's the largest iron ore deposit on the African continent, one of the largest in the world today. Added to this, the extraction costs to get the iron ore per dry metric ton out to market is between $24 and $31. Iron ore is currently trading at $105 per ton, so clearly the margins there are huge. But to go back to the joint venture company Jumelles, this is actually 49.51% owned by Zenaga Iron Ore, ZIOC, and Glencore. And Glencore, as we know, is one of the largest mining conglomerates in the world today. And Glencore are being very canny at the moment, and they're going around and investing into key iron ore projects around the globe. To go back to Cadence Minerals, Cadence have a stake in a company called MacArthur Minerals in Australia. And MacArthur Minerals own the Lake Giles Iron Ore Project, which is an enormous project in that region. Glencore came in and agreed a takeoff deal, which is worth some $10 billion over the next few years. So this is what Glencore do. But Zenaga are even further down the road in that this is a 50-50 joint venture between the two of them. The company recently announced an agreement for Jamel with China, the China Overseas Development and Infrastructure Corporation, this is very much a work in progress. But where the share price is now, currently trading at 6.5p, with a market cap of 16 million. The demand for iron ore is well established, particularly given the Vale Dam collapse in Brazil, which of course squeezed the iron ore market globally. But given that we are now in a recovery situation, this is one of the key commodities that's going to drive the recovery. And as such, companies like Zanaga, with these key projects that are set to supply that future market, are, I believe, very well placed going forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. I didn't see that. What's the Z-I-O-C, isn't it?
Z-I-O-C. Oh,
Zanaga. I always thought it was Zanaga.
Zanaga iron ore. That's it.
No, I always thought it was another extra N in there. Zanaga. Obodawanga. Katanga. Do you remember Lenny Henry's new character?
Mr. Katanga. Mr. Katanga. That's it.
Yeah. Okay, iron ore seems to be hotting up, isn't it? But I don't know anything about resource companies. They're too much of that. And Africa. Jurisdiction, see? I'm always careful in jurisdictions. And I know we shouldn't say Africa's all one place because different countries, some are more manageable and more operable in them than others. Others are sort of a bit dodgy. Where are they based?
They're based in the DRC, Democratic Republic.
Oh, my gosh! Yeah.
Yes, I'm with you, and I think you have some reservations. It's right to have reservations about some of the African countries, you know, given the backdrop and given the incumbent government. But the fact is here that it's a joint venture with Glencore, and you know, when you've got one of the world's largest mining conglomerates joining it. On the project. Hello?
Hello? Oh, you just dipped out there. Thank goodness. That was enough. Thanks. You dipped out at the right time. Thanks so much. Because you said, "Go on." Right. It's almost like Skype knew you were going into a bit of, into one. And they said, "Let's just cut him off."
That was a bleep from outer space. My God, that was
a warning bleep from Skype saying, "Hey, too much, too much, too much, Al." Okay, anyway, listen, I get your take. I mean, do you know what? I just think, in my mind, shares have risk inherently within them. And if you can reduce that risk, then you can do well. Of course, there's bigger reward sometimes with this high risk, but sometimes it's not worth it. Just, you know, why don't take on extra risk? It's a knowable risk, you know? Like certain African countries, you know it's a risk. Why take it on? If you know the risk, try and avoid them. The further you can do so at risks, the more chance success you'll have. That's what I think.
Reduce your risk, indeed, but also bear in mind that given all the currency devaluation we're going to be seeing over the next few years, tangible assets like iron ore, like gold, are going to be worth more and more and more. So I'll just leave you with that thought.
Yeah, cool. No, I agree. Lovely stuff. Al, thanks for that, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Jess. Speak next week.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five. It is Salt Lake Potash. At four, Novasight. At three, Vast Resources. At two, Gfinity. And at one, Eurasia Mining. By the way, Eurasia Mining up 5.8% at 18 pence. Let's go to the top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Regency Mines, 2020 exploration program. At four, Jubilee Metals, 6 month operations update. At three, Gfinity Plus go live. Talk about that with John the podcast. At four, Pan Asia Metals, planned IPO and corporate update. And at one, Integumin, partners with Vacta for novel SARS-CoV sensors. Skin is ticker there, of course. Is that up today? It is up 2.63% there on that news. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciado.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.